Chapter 11. This place is terrible. The world is run by very different personages from what is imagined by those who are not behind the scenes Benjamin Disraeli. Comma because they are born from men and from the holy watchers in their beginning and primal origin, they shall be evil spirits on earth and evil spirits they shall be called, and the spirits of the giants will afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth and cause trouble, and these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women, Book of Enoch. Now we must come to the present and seek to discover how active these alien masters and their progeny are in the seemingly diverse and complex human arena. Is the Great War still going on and is the endgame perhaps in sight, to be concluded in our own time? Many authors, who have made researches into the subject of alien visitation, such as Brinsley Lepore Trench, Eric von Daniken, and Zacharia Sitchin, continually assert that the Anunnaki have left this planet and are one day to return to save us from ourselves and correct the injustices and wrongs of humankind. These authors believe that the alien gods are essentially benevolent, that they are, in fact, our elder brothers with our welfare at heart. This author is, however, far from subscribing to these and other kindred theories. Along with Commons Beaumont, William Bramley, C.S. Lewis, and others, the author believes that the aliens have never left this planet and are, in fact, themselves responsible for the origin and presence of evil in the consciousness of mankind. This place is terrible, an uninterpreted Templar inscription in Renly's Chateau, France. Though it is unlikely, but not impossible that none of the original alien visitors still physically live, their offspring certainly do exist and continue to bring mankind to the brink of spiritual degradation and physical annihilation for their own selfish purposes. Descendants of the beings known as the Sons of the Serpents, those ancient Lemurians, are amongst us also continuing in a plethora of subtle and ingenious ways to bring Homo Atlantis to awareness of their origins, history, and plight. In the following section, attention will be drawn to some of the ways that they do this. In their creations they continually emphasize that they and their forefathers have been engaging in a veritable battle of Armageddon. This battle is going on every second of every day. It is not yet won by the light bearers because we, the children of Earth, against the very coding of our DNA are as yet resistant to taking up arms against our deadliest enemies who have kept and will continue to keep us in utter servitude. It is time to draw Excalibur from the stone again. But do not wait for any King Arthur to return from the physical grave. Arthur is us, Arthur is you. Upon investigation, we find that there is much evidence to indicate that the alien visitors and their dark progeny have been and still are with us, that they are, in fact, at the very hell of the echelons of society, making use of powerful secret societies, such as the Masonic and Rosicrucian fraternities as their cover for centuries. It has been uncovered that the members of such bodies permeate and influence all areas of government, politics, education, religion, and business. This has been the case certainly since the Renaissance. It is for the individual reader to decide for themselves whether such fraternities and enclaves, even whether the entire occult genre, were before, or are now, under the control of the progeny of the Atlantean Nephilim. It is the contention of this author in his present state of understanding that it is unlikely that occultists and occultism have been, or are, exclusively in the hands of the Atlantean offspring, and although people may be evil, symbols and edifices are inherently not. Clearly, both sides make use of the same machinery. In the final analysis, it matters little what weapons are used and what field is chosen for battle. It matters greatly though to know the enemy. In its education of these matters, humanity has continually been helped, even occasionally from those behind the veils of secrecy. Not only were many of the founders of the U.S. Masons, but they received aid from a secret and august body existing in Europe, which helped them to establish the United States for a peculiar and particular purpose known only to the initiated few. Peter Tompkins quoting M.P. Holland's Secrets of the Great Pyramid, "I have been convinced that we, as an order, have come under the power of some very evil occult order, profoundly versed in science, both occult and otherwise, though not infallible, their methods being black magic, that is to say, electromagnetic power, hypnotism, and powerful suggestion. We are convinced that the order is being controlled by some sun order, after the nature of the Illuminati, if not by that order itself, Duke of Brunswick, Grand Master of World Freemasonry, comma. While the real brothers died ignominious deaths, the spurious order which tried to step into their shoes became exclusively a branch of the Jesuits, Illuminati, under the immediate tutelage of the latter. True-hearted Masons ought to reject with horror any connection, let alone descent from these, Madame Helena Blavatsky, the secret doctrine. Comma, there exists another class of adepts belonging to a brotherhood also and mightier than any other. They have to be ranked with the adepts of the black arts. These are our Roman Catholic fathers and clergy, 100 times more learned in secret symbology and the old religion than our Orientalists will ever be. There are more profoundly learned Kabbalists in Rome and throughout Europe and America than is generally suspected. Thus are the brotherhoods of black adepts more powerful and dangerous than any host of Eastern occultists. Madame Helena Blavatsky, the secret doctrine. Speak I of ancient Atlantis, speak of the days of the Kingdom of Shadows, speak of the coming of the Children of Shadows. Out of the great deep were they called by the wisdom of the earth man. In the form of man they moved amongst us, but only to sight were they as men. Sapentha-aided when the glamour was lifted, crept they into councils, taking form that were like unto men, slaying by their arts the chiefs of the kingdoms, taking their form and ruling o'er man, to destroy man and rule in his place. Emerald tablets of Thoth the Atlantean, some of the biggest men in the United States, in the field of commerce and manufacture, are afraid of somebody, are afraid of something. They know there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. President Woodrow Wilson. We get the truth even from the horse's mouth. We form an association of brothers in all points of the globe, yet there is one unseen that can hardly be felt, yet it weighs on us. Whence comes it? Where is it? No one knows, or at least no one tells. This association is secret even to us, the veterans of the secret societies. Giuseppe Mazzini, head of the Bavarian Illuminati. The blue degrees are but the outer court of the temple. Part of the symbols are displayed there to the initiate, but he is intentionally misled by false interpretation. It is not intended that he shall understand them, but it is intended that he shall imagine that he understands them. The true explanation is reserved for the adepts, the princes of Masonry, those of the 32nd and 33rd degrees, Albert Pike, Grand Master of American Scottish Rite Freemasonry. In spite of the efforts of science fiction and fantasy writers, it appears that humans are very far from a complete understanding of the forces that have shaped history or the evolution of terrestrial societies. Because they are in charge of the world's media, the alien masters have been industrious and successful in putting Atlantis in front of us as a long-lost paradise, where wise priests presided over semi-enlightened, sublimely contented people, at one with their environment. If one's discrimination is, however, still operating, and if one has read through the masterpieces of Tolkien, MacDonald, Le Guin, and C.S. Lewis, it will be realized that these tales of Atlantis are pernicious fiction. They are part of an ongoing propaganda campaign, accepted by those within the New Age movement who have been duped by the nostalgic reveries of bygone days and golden ages where all was peace and plenty. It is a truism that mankind is at home in nature, not in any kind of metropolis. This probably holds true for all ages on the earth. It is commonly known that many persons involved in the sciences are overwhelmingly cold-blooded and inhuman, but such persons are also found in the political, sociological, and psychological sciences. They are found involved in the medical professions and they are behind many other industries. They appear to be the paradigm authors in modern times, leading mankind to destruction with every new diversion. Are such beings the progeny of the necromancers of Atlantis? Are they Homo Atlantis who chose to hearken to the alien DNA instead of the Homo sapiens strains? Are these scions of ancient sorcery involved in the governments and media today? According to the traditions of many isolated peoples, the first great emperors in Asia were god kings who came down from the sky, displayed amazing superhuman abilities, and took over, John Keel, our haunted planet. Comma, because they are born from men and from the holy watchers in their beginning and primal origin, they shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits they shall be called, and the spirits of the giants will afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth and cause trouble. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men and against the women. Book of Enoch, chapter 15. When all mankind who are on the earth die, he shall be safe, and this posterity shall beget on the earth giants, not spiritual, but carnal. Book of Enoch. I am offspring of the serpent nature and a corrupter's son. I am the son of he who sits on the throne and has dominion over the creation beneath the heavens. Acts of Thomas. Only by magic could they be discovered, only by sound could their faces be seen. But ye know, the masters were mighty in magic, able to lift the veil from the face of the serpent, able to send him back to his place. Came they to man and taught him the secret, the word that only a man can pronounce. Swift then they lifted the veil from the serpent and cast him forth from the place among men. Emerald tablets of Hermes, and so in numerous movies, not all of which are created by perverse personages, we see the great tale cryptically and repeatedly insinuated. See Highlander, The Hunger, Scanners, Superman, The Hidden, Conan the Barbarian, Sword and the Sorcerer, Battlestar Galactica, V, Beastmaster, The Dark Crystal, Cocoon, Red Sonja, Life Force, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, The Invisible Man, Frankenstein, Dracula, Flash Gordon, Trancers, Bladderinner, Terminator, The Omen, The Time Bandits, The Devil Rides Out, Quatermass, Doctor Who, Blake's Seven, Space 1999, Star Trek, The Last Wave, They Live, It Came from Outer Space, The Brain from the Planet Aris, The Creature Walks Among Us, War of the Worlds, The Tripods, $6 Million Man, Free Jack, Tron, Planet of the Apes, The Iger Sanction, The Time Machine, Things to Come, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, The Golem, Android, 5 Million Years to Earth, Star Wars, He-Man, Masters of the Universe, What Planet Are You From, Fifth Element, Fallen, Independence Day, Moonraker, and Jacob's Ladder. In earlier chapters, we reviewed theories of how alien beings arrived and colonized the planet Earth, influencing her entire history. We also looked into the probable manner in which evil came into the world and into the personality of man. We hinted that it may not be at all natural, meaning that it may not arise due to the inviolate forces of nature, but only from perpetual and unnecessary tampering with, or circumventing of, such forces. For why would nature create a phenomenon so inherently destructive to herself? But more pressing for us at this point is the reminder that the resolution of the war between the forces of good and evil was not concluded in pre-diluvian times. The Dark Ones were drastically reduced in physical numbers and they had lost most of the technology that channeled their powers. What was left of this computer hardware was often sequestered in areas that we now refer to as the inner sanctum of a temple, or as the Holy of Holies, etc. Only the initiated could enter such precincts, others being threatened with death and damnation if they became curious and dared. The biblical references to the Ark of the Covenant and Moses' warnings about its powers clearly denote some kind of unpredictable and deadly radioactivity. It is also rumored that the Ark contained the remains of the leader of the fallen angels or others of his 200. The word Ark comes from Ark, meaning the first, the original, or even, the originator, and also from Arka, which translates as tomb, and the Israelites declared the so-called Ark to contain God himself. Words like Arcadia, Monarch, Archon, and Arctis contain this strange prefix. The loss of the majority of this technology was of singular irritation to the alien visitors and was sorely lamented. And so, in the post-diluvian times, they set about energetically manipulating events that we now read as history to bring them to the point where they could reproduce the technological hardware that was so invaluable. This is an act that was begun by the Council of Elders in Asia Minor over 11,000 years ago. They have compelled us to the heights of technological expertise at the expense of other areas of human development, as lamented by innumerable philosophers, romantics, social critics, and activists. I wonder why progress looks so much like destruction. John Steinbeck. The major advances in civilization are processes that wreck the societies in which they occur. Alfred North Whitehead. Regarding the practicality of their meta-plan, they knew it would take centuries to come to fruition. However, there was no choice but to commit to it, since it meant that they could finally vacate their prison Earth and roam the infinite skies, or perhaps even return to their own planet. The Renaissance, the Industrial Age, and the present Silicon Age stand as testaments to their success. It is our belief that the endgame is to be played out in our times and that it is in fact being played out as we write. Unfortunately, this is not the place to chart the entire machinations of these beings from 11,000 years ago. We can, instead, make reference only to a period closer to our own age, one that it is of paramount importance in the understanding of all that has been hitherto mentioned. We are referring to the late Renaissance and Elizabethan ages. For it was in the 16th century that something very important occurred that moved the agenda of the Atlanteans dramatically forward. However, the official historians have cleverly camouflaged this something. History is distorted by diachronic and synchronic manipulation, and those revisionists who attempt to bring the truth to the attention of the masses are constantly being thwarted and undermined by the minions of those who stand to be exposed. The falsification of history has done more to mislead humans than any single thing known to mankind. Rousseau, history is the lie commonly agreed upon. Voltaire,